This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, November 19th. Well, a rough day in the grain complex yesterday as the wheat markets started out into new contract highs on Kansas City and Chicago, Minneapolis still within a trading range, but then even with corn and beans started out strong, but then the market rolled over, and boy, the selling just really started to hit it hard. It seemed to gain some momentum. So we did have a reversal down by the end of the day, but it wasn't an outside day lower, which would have given us a key reversal. But it certainly makes one pause that perhaps we're just running into a more volatile time of year. Certainly the volume is going to pull back a little bit as you get into the holiday season, which is normal. And of course, you tend to see more volatility that way anyway. But the bear spreads were pretty active yesterday too, as the market rallied. And that was a big red flag that perhaps this wheat market wasn't going to be all that solid yesterday, and that certainly turned out to be the case. What we're seeing so far from the night session is the market did get some follow through to the downside, but the spreads were stable and just starting to find some buying interest as we head into the break. So again, bull spreads are stable, which means bear spreads are stable as well, but at least we have that going for us, that the market seems to be finding some support down here. We'll see where we go, but I think it's pretty safe to say, just looking at the price action, just over this past week, there have been several days where the market puts in a new high, but it takes a lot of work to do it. And the sellers are there trying to press it. They're not winning yet. They're certainly asserting their direction and finding some company in that process, but the market is not falling out of bed, and I think that's worth noting. From a fundamental standpoint, very little has changed. In fact, if anything, we're looking at more bullish fundamentals just around the corner. Australia is looking at more rain in the eastern section. They're not quite done with harvest yet. We're not seeing good quality out of the western part of Australia. It's unlikely, if the rains reassert themselves, that we're going to see, quality able to hold in there with the eastern part of the country. And it's the Queensland, the northeast part of the country, where most of their high-quality hard wheat is grown. And that's where most of the rain is coming. So it's a quality wheat issue, milling grade around the world. And of course, that stems from the drought in North America. And it also stems from disappointing yields in Russia. Russia's been able to move a fair amount of wheat in the export channel, but around the corner there too, the government is hinting pretty strongly that they would move up their tariff quota from mid-February to January. Either way, even if it's still just mid-Feb, the bottom line is you're going to see exports being shut off from Russia as you get into the winter months, deeper into the winter months. Now, of course, we got the problem with the Canadian rail lines. All that rain and flooding in the PNW here of the United States, of course, is causing similar problems with Canada. And there's some rail lines that have been flooded out. And it's, the talk is that it could be a couple months before they get those back online. Of course, that's going to shut off a big part of the big artery of grain exports for Canada. And the chatter was that wheat would come south here to the United States. And of course, that certainly could be a big issue for spring wheat. All of a sudden we have more spring wheat imports in the United States that we weren't counting on at all. And I think that's why spring wheat has lost some of its leadership here and gained some leadership as the market sells off. I don't think it changes the overall picture for spring wheat, because it's still, both the U.S. and Canada are dependent on exports, and the world is looking for high quality wheat, and of course that really zeroes in on the U.S. and Canada. So while Minneapolis might falter a bit here, I'm guessing it's just going to pace sideways. So far it looks like we're trading in kind of a converging triangle type of price action, which would suggest that will continue for a while, but that ultimately will break to the upside. And it does give us some measuring tools as well to give us some projections. So we'll see where all this shakes out. But because the market seems to be stabling on the night session, and again, the bull spread stabling as well, my guess is that we've probably shaken out enough here. and we'll start to work our way higher. You know, the market could come back down and test those swing lows from earlier this week. In fact, you know, we've already had a pullback early this week that tested the breakout from early November. Maybe we're going to come back down and retest that again. But, you know, it's interesting how seasonal patterns, normally the wheat market tends to sell off into Thanksgiving. Well, we really have not had that. The market pulled back a little bit in early November, then it had a new high here just yesterday, in fact. So it spent much of that seasonal time window moving higher. And now as we get into Thanksgiving, now we're getting a little bit of a pullback or what appears to be more of a sideways pattern. So if that's the seasonal pull on prices, and this is all you're getting, it further underscores the bullish nature of this market. I still think we're very much in the throes of a bull market. You're not going to see any more product, you know, any more production from a major exporter at the earliest until June here in the United States. And then it's July as you get into the rest of the Northern Hemisphere. That's just when they're cutting it in the heart of their harvest. You know, it's at least another 3-4 weeks before it's available to the world pipeline. So it's a long time away. And of course, you've got weather, long-term weather forecasts suggesting that all will not be rosy here in the United States. La Nina is still strengthening. That's a big reason why we have so much rain plaguing the harvest in Australia. Normally it brings dryness to Argentina and southern Brazil. Well, that's not been the case so far. They've had ideal weather. If anything, it's a little too wet in central and northern Brazil. But so far, corn and bean planting is happening pretty much on schedule in Argentina and southern Brazil, and they're planting into very good conditions. So those crops will get off to a good start. That said, NOAA is projecting that as you get into mid-December, that dryness is going to start prevailing over Argentina and southern Brazil. That would be the effect of La Nina. And of course, that's headed right into the main part of the growing season for corn and soybeans in South America. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how things play out. But you do have La Nina. We have a pretty good idea of what that kind of weather phenomena will bring to certain areas of the world. And, you know, we're just waiting to see if that materializes. It also would suggest that the U.S. Southwest would experience some dryness as well. And that is in the long-range forecast from NOAA as well, that through February, they're expecting pretty much warmish temperatures, dry conditions across the U.S. Southwest and the Southern Plains. The question is, does that continue on? It's not that big a deal if your crop is dormant, but it'd be nice to have some moisture in the ground as you come out of dormancy. And the question is, what happens after February? There is a large pool of cold water that has developed in off the coast of Alaska. Meteorologists suggesting that that is going to bring some dry conditions to the U.S. as well. All of this is conjecture, but it's got some historical basis to it. So we'll see how this all prevails. But, you know, I think it's needless to say that if we have another year of dry conditions, you know, the wheat market takes a huge leg up. But I'm not predicting that's going to happen. We just know that stocks are tight. We've just come out of a massive drought in North America. Very disappointing yields in Russia, which is the world's largest exporter. We've got very tight supplies in Europe. They're trying to slow down their exports. And you've got, you know, again, the Russian government looking to slow down or cut off Russian exports. And you've got La Nina working in South America and well, the Southern Hemisphere. So there's, you know, a lot of things to be keeping an eye on here. Even though it's winter, these are things that certainly could play into the corn and bean market, which would affect wheat. And then, you know, we're going to be looking at how things progress through the winter and into early spring for the U.S. It's also worth noting that the Black Sea has run into a dry stretch as well. Sovcon is already ratcheting down Ukraine wheat production by a fairly healthy amount. So that's kind of interesting. You know, they're in the same weather pattern as southern Russia is too. And I think that's a big reason why Russian farmers have been such slow sellers in that export region of southern Russia. They had a disappointing crop. They've got the storage space, and they're, you know, staring down the barrel of potential dryness coming into next year. So they're not going to be, you know, too anxious to sell wheat unless it just looks like the government is going to completely clamp down on exports, which would kill their domestic price and probably prompt them to move a little wheat. But unless you get that, it's my guess that Russia is going to soon become a much more diminishing figure. And frankly, we're already seeing that. Egypt put out a tender earlier this week. Romania was the cheapest offer, but only one cargo. Ukraine was next in line at $4 higher. Russia was $12 higher for their cheapest cargo offer to Egypt, which is a market that they always want to participate in. So we're already seeing Russia kind of fade into the background when it comes to the export market. Well, if you remove your biggest seller from the market, that takes an enormous amount of pressure away from world price. So these are all things that are in the bullish camp for wheat. In the bearish camp, you have Southern Hemisphere harvest. Toward the tail end, you're going to see that supply hit the market. You got the holidays coming in. You've got sellers obviously wanting to sell these high prices, but the hedge funds are on the bull side for the grain complex. They're looking at inflation taking root. They want to be long, hard assets, and it's you know, the grains are one of them. On the flip side there too, on the bearish side, you got a dollar that continues to move higher. That certainly puts a squeeze on our export competitiveness. And the dollar, even with inflation, the dollar's moving higher on the perception that the Fed is going to start raising interest rates. And it's a flight to safety. You've got COVID rearing up again. This time it's Eastern Europe. But even with people who are vaccinated, they're not safe. So there's this fear, underlying fear, that we're going through another wave. And that, of course, is an economic issue. And you're going to have a flight to safety, and that's the dollar. So that's part of the pressure on the grain space. It just makes our exports more expensive. But bottom line, both wheat and corn are in bull markets, and exporter stocks to use ratios are at all-time lows. And I think, you know, we'll get our corrections, and sometimes they're gut checks like we saw yesterday. But I do think that there's still upside left in this market. We're targeting early February for the first notable high. And then it just depends on what kind of weather we get for winter wheat. But I think the spring crops put in their highs in early May. And I think it's going to be another battle for acres, similar to what we saw last year. This time spring wheat's in the mix, and barley, and oats, and canola, and all the other crops that North Dakota grows, sunflowers. You know, those are crops that are going to be battling it out for acres. And I think it's going to be fun to watch, to be honest. I think there's going to be huge opportunities that present themselves for getting some crops priced on this battle as we get into the spring. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.